Heavenly Father, I thank you for an opportunity to share this message. I thank you for the person listening to this message. Father, I ask you to open our hearts to heed your word. Open our ears to hear your word. Open our eyes to perceive your word. Open our minds to understand your word. Show us great and mighty things that we do not know. And I thank you, Father, that because you're doing this, I thank you for the revelation, comprehension, transformation, and restoration that will take place in the life of the person listening to this message, as well as in the lives of the individuals this person is going to share this message with. Thank you for doing this and more in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hello, how are you doing today? My name is OJ Toks, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to this message. I want to talk about overcoming rejection. Overcoming rejection. A couple of years ago, I was seeking God about getting married. I was trusting God to find me a wife. And I came across this lady and I felt like she was the one for me. She looked like the one. She talked like the one. She smelled like the one. I even felt like the birds were singing that she was the one. The dogs were barking that she was the one. So I felt like she was the one. She was a godly woman. She served the Lord. She exemplified a godly character. I met her in church. So before I proceeded to talk to her, I went to God first because, you know, I needed to put God first and make sure that this was the person God was leading me to. So I went to God. I was like, God, you know what? She looks like the one, but I want your consent. I want your direction. I basically say, if she is the one, make it work out. But if it's not, please don't let this even start. But deep down in my heart, I felt like she was the one. Well, I approached the lady in question, and she simply told me she was interested in another guy. So in essence, I was rejected. I was disappointed, even though I felt like she was the one, but she had other plans. She had other desires. While I was dealing with that disappointment, a friend of mine gave me a call and asked me to speak in a True Love Weight seminar. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? I kind of felt like God was playing jokes on me. Are you really serious? Yeah, asking me to speak in a True Love Weight seminar, knowing fully well that I just got rejected from being in a relationship. Despite my anger, despite my disappointment, I kind of felt like God used what I went through to kind of set me up to speak in this seminar. I went ahead and spoke in the seminar, and the title of my message in the seminar was While You Are Single. Turns out that my message in the seminar, the title of it, turned out to be my first book. About 2 years later, I met another lady. And I said to myself, you know what? She might be the one. But before I proceeded to talk to her, I went to God first. I said, God, help me out here. I don't have time to waste. If she is the one, let it work out. If it's not, do not let this relationship even start. That was pretty much the same request I made to God regarding the first lady too. So after I prayed to God, I went ahead and I spoke to the lady in question. To cut a long story short, I kind of felt like she blew me off. I got rejected again. But this time around, I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to write a book about rejection. As I began to think about it, I said to myself, wait a minute, Toks. Your first book was written after you got rejected. And now you got rejected again. And not only are you writing a book again, but this time around, you're writing a book about rejection. And I began to figure out, wait a minute, there must be a connection between the rejection I experienced and my inspiration to write about it. Like I said, I already went to God in prayer about it. And in both times, things didn't work out. In both times, I was rejected. Even so, I kind of felt like God was behind it. I felt like it was a good thing, not only for me, but for the ladies in question. So part of the motivation for me to write about rejection was to find out, what is it about rejection that is good? I mean, some people kind of feel or are aware that there's something good about it, but what is it about rejection that is good? In the process of me seeking God about this, I discover that a lot of people who are successful in life were rejected. In fact, not only were they rejected, the rejection was a catalyst for their success. That was my motivation behind finding out about rejection. I began to seek God and read the Bible and do some research, and I learned a few things, and I'm sharing just a bit, just a little bit of what I've learned over the years about rejection. Why do we experience rejection from people? Notice I said people, not God. God doesn't reject you. God is for you. God loves you. God accepts you. God wants the best for you. Unfortunately, people reject us. But why do we experience rejection from people? It has come to my understanding that there are about three fundamental reasons that we experience rejection from people. There are three basic reasons that people reject us. The first reason is that people reject us when we don't meet their expectations. People reject us when we don't meet their expectations. In this case, we get rejected for being wrong or doing wrong. Being wrong or doing wrong. By being wrong or doing wrong, we don't meet their expectations. By being wrong, I mean you're wrong for what they want. You didn't do anything wrong. You're just not what they're looking for. You're not the right fit for what they're looking for. You don't have the looks. You don't have the education. You don't have the experience. You don't fit the profile. You don't have the credentials. You're not qualified. You didn't do anything wrong. It's just that you're not what they're looking for. You're not the right fit. That's what I mean by being wrong. By doing wrong, I mean being rejected for actually doing something wrong, being rejected for unacceptable behavior or for unethical behavior. For example, a guy loses his job because he put his boss in a headlock. Another example is a guy getting rejected by his wife because he was unfaithful. Or a student getting expelled from school because he assaulted an instructor. In those cases, the individuals are rejected for unethical behavior or unacceptable behavior. Okay? So the first reason why we experience rejection from people is that people reject us when we don't meet their expectations, either by being wrong for what they want or doing wrong. Okay? Now perhaps you're listening to this and saying to yourself, okay, Tokes, I get it. I understand when I'm being rejected because I don't fit the profile. I get that. I understand being rejected because I'm not qualified. I'm not the right fit. I don't have the experience. I don't have the education. I don't have the looks. I don't fit the profile. I get that. I understand being rejected because I did something wrong. I understand being rejected because I was dishonest or I was unethical. Or I did something wrong. I get that. But, Tokes, please explain to me why I am still getting rejected despite the fact that I do have the looks and I have the education. I have the experience. I have the credentials. I fit the profile. I read about the profile. I read about the requirements. I fit exactly what they're looking for. I carry myself with dignity. I walk in integrity. I read my Bible. I live right. I treat people with respect and dignity. I'm expressing myself the right way, and yet I'm still rejected. Explain that to me, Tokes, because I understand if I don't fit the profile, and I understand if I did something wrong, but why am I still getting rejected when I'm being right and doing right? What's going on, Tokes? Explain that to me because I don't get it. I understand if I don't meet expectations, but I fit the profile, and I have all the stuff that society says I'm supposed to have, and I'm being all the Bible says I'm supposed to be, but I'm still experiencing rejection. So, talks, explain that to me. What's going on? The truth is, some of us find ourselves in this predicament, and we wonder why we're getting rejected. Some of us who find ourselves in this situation are left to ask ourselves this question: what's wrong with me? What's the problem? Why is this happening to me? Where is God in all of this? I'm doing the right things, and I'm everything that they're expecting of me, and yet I'm still getting rejected. What is wrong with me? If you told me what is wrong with me, then I can go ahead and fix it. But the problem is, I don't know what to fix because I feel like I don't have anything to fix, but I'm still getting rejected. So talks, tell me what's wrong with me. Let me tell you what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you is that you're asking the wrong question. You're not supposed to be asking yourself what's wrong with you. You're supposed to be asking yourself what's right with you, which brings me to the second reason why we experience rejection from people. Remember, the first reason is that people reject us when we don't meet their expectations. And in this case, we're being rejected because we're wrong, or we're being wrong, or we do wrong. But the second reason is that people reject us when we exceed their expectations. People reject us when we exceed their expectations. In this case, we're being rejected for being right or doing right. Being right or doing right. By being right, I mean we're right or just too good for what they're looking for. This is where a guy goes to apply for a job, and the recruiter tells him, "We can't afford to pay you. You're overqualified, so you're not hired." This is where a guy is rejected by a lady because he is too nice. This is where a lady is rejected by a guy because her pay grade is higher than his. She has her own house, but he lives in an apartment with his mom, his mom's apartment. Please don't get me wrong. If she rejected him because he didn't have as much as she had, she will be rejecting him based on the first point. He did not meet her expectations. But that's not the point I'm making here. The point I'm making here is the guy is the one rejecting the lady because she has more stuff than he has. The lady has no problem with him. The lady loves him. The lady appreciates him. The lady is not putting her accomplishments in his face. The lady sees his potential. The lady has no problem where he is. She sees what he can become. But he has a problem with her. That's my point. He is intimidated by her. A lot of times, when we are being rejected for exceeding expectations or being right, it's because people are intimidated by us. They feel like we're making them look bad. They feel like we've raised the bar. We've raised the standard. So we make them look incompetent. Therefore, they hate on us. So that's what I mean by being right. You're just too good for what it is you're trying to accomplish. By doing right, I mean you're being rejected because everybody else wants to do the wrong thing, but you want to do the right thing. Perhaps everyone else wants to run around, but you choose to live a godly lifestyle. Therefore, you are put at arm's length. Perhaps you're part of a team at work, and your team members want to cut corners at the job, but you choose not to do so. So you're being ostracized and spoken against. You're trying to do right, but everybody else wants to do the wrong thing, and you refuse to do what they're doing. So you're being rejected. The second reason why we experience rejection from people is that people reject us when we exceed their expectations, either by doing right or by being right. The third reason why we experience rejection from people is that people reject us when we try to accomplish things with them at the wrong time. Wrong timing is another reason why we experience rejection from people. What you may have tried to do may have been right, but the timing was wrong. The timing was wrong. For example, let's say a lady is trying to discuss an issue or address an issue with her husband. It's an issue that needs to be addressed. It's the right thing to do. Unfortunately, she chooses to address the issue while her husband is watching the NBA playoffs with his friends. What kind of response do you think she's going to get from her husband? More often than not, she's going to reject whatever she's trying to tell him at that point, not because what she's trying to say is wrong, but the timing of it is wrong. Another example is our economy right now is going through some setbacks, and consequently, a lot of people are not able to get jobs. The main reason they're not able to get jobs is because of the condition of the economy. At some other time, they will have gotten those jobs. But because of what's going on in the economy, the timing of them applying for jobs is the challenge. Of course, I know that with God, all things are possible. I know that God can bring water out of a desert. I know that God can provide our needs even when we're dealing with famine. But that's not the point I'm making here. I'm just dealing with the fact that the reality is one of the reasons we experience rejection is because the timing of whatever it is we're trying to accomplish, when it's the wrong time, we can experience rejection, not because what we're trying to do is wrong, but because the timing is wrong. I'm reminded of a profound statement leadership expert Dr. John Maxwell said about timing in his book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. One of his laws is what he describes as the law of timing. While discussing the law of timing, he said this about timing: the wrong action at the wrong time brings disaster. The wrong action at the right time is a mistake. The right action at the wrong time brings resistance. But the right action at the right time results in success. Let me say that one more time. The wrong action at the wrong time brings disaster. The wrong action at the right time is a mistake. The right action at the wrong time brings resistance, but the right action at the right time results in success. My emphasis is that wrong timing is another reason why we experience rejection. So once again, people reject us when we don't meet their expectations. In this case, we're being rejected for being wrong or doing wrong. People reject us when we exceed their expectations. In this case, we're being right or doing right. And people reject us when we try to do things with them at the wrong time. Notwithstanding, that's not the most important thing I want to share with you today. The reasons why people reject us are things for us to, or things for you to think about. Perhaps you want to evaluate some of the rejections you experience. That's okay. All that information I just shared is just rhetoric. It's just something to just talk about. But that's not the icing on the cake. That's not the cake. That's not the most important thing I want you to live with today. What's really important, what I really want you to take to heart, what I really want you to hold on to, what I really want you to ponder about, think about, understand, and grasp is why God allows us to experience rejection. That's the most important thing. That's really what I want to emphasize today. Why does God allow us to experience rejection? People may reject you because you don't meet their expectations. People may reject you because you exceed their expectations. People may reject you because you try to accomplish things with them at the wrong time. But God allows us to experience rejection so that we can meet his expectations. Let me say that again. God allows us to experience rejection so that we can meet His expectations. What are his expectations? God's expectations are for us to fulfill our destiny. God expects you and I to fulfill our destiny. Whether that destiny is to do something, whether that destiny is to be with someone, or whether that destiny is to be somewhere, God uses a rejection as a vehicle to get us to that person, get us to that place, or get us to that project. Rejection is a wake-up call. It's an alarm clock that God uses to wake up your calling. That's what I mean by wake-up call. Rejection is an alarm clock that God uses to wake up your calling. It's what he uses to wake up the sleeping giant inside of you. It's what he uses to bring out. One of the things he uses to bring out the abilities and the gifts that he has deposited inside of you. Rejection is not a wall that blocks your path. It's an arrow that directs it. Rejection is a vehicle that God uses to help you find and fulfill your destiny. I want you to understand something. Being rejected is not the end of your life. Rather, it's a means to an end for your life, and that end is your destiny. Being rejected is not the end of your life. Rather, it's a means to an end for your life, and that end is your destiny. At this juncture, I'd like us to consider a scripture that really revolutionized all I've learned about rejection for the past few years. This verse of scripture can be found in Psalm 118, verse 22. Psalm 118, verse 22. I'm quoting from the New King James Version. It simply says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, Acts chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, Peter explained what that scripture meant. Peter explained that the stone was Jesus, and the builders were the religious leaders, the scribes, the chief priests of Jesus's day. They rejected Jesus, the stone, who turned out to be the chief cornerstone. Jesus turned out to be whom he said he was, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lamb that came to take away the sin of the world. Jesus was the person he said he was, but he was rejected by the religious leaders, the chief priests of his day. You know, perhaps having watched The Passion of the Christ, or perhaps you're familiar with the story of Jesus' crucifixion in Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 to 22. Matthew 27, 15 to 22. We hear about how Jesus was brought before Pilate. And Pilate basically brought Jesus and a notorious criminal named Barabbas before the people. And Pilate asked the people, "Who should I release to you, Jesus or Barabbas?" And the people unanimously agreed that Pilate release Barabbas. And they chose to reject Jesus. They chose to have Jesus condemned to death. They chose to have Jesus crucified. The people accepted a criminal. and chose to reject Jesus. Perhaps if you're one of those wondering why you're doing the right things and yet you're being rejected, well, I want to refer you to Jesus. He didn't do anything wrong. He did everything good. He was perfect, yet he got rejected. Well, if he, who is perfect, got rejected, where does that leave you and I? And of course, he was rejected because he exceeded expectations. Notwithstanding, they rejected the Christ and crucified him. Logically, that's messed up. But as I began to think about it, I said, wait a minute. What if the people decided to release Jesus? What if they told Pilate that Jesus is perfect? Jesus didn't do anything wrong. Release Jesus and crucify Barabbas. If they had done that, Jesus will not have gone to the cross. Barabbas will have gone to the cross. Jesus will not have died for our sins. In essence, Jesus will not have fulfilled his destiny, which means you and I have to die for our own sins. And the last time I checked, we couldn't afford to do that. The last time I checked, God doesn't accept our own sacrifices for our sins. So basically, the rejection Jesus experienced made sure, ensured, guaranteed that he fulfilled his destiny. Along the same lines, God allows us to experience rejection to make sure, to ensure, to guarantee that we fulfill our destiny. Whether it means we need to be with a particular person, whether it means we need to be at a particular job, whether it means we need to be at a particular place, the bottom line is God uses rejection sometimes as a last resort to ensure that we end up with whom he wants us to end up with, do what he wants us to do, or be where he wants us to be. People can love us or accept us out of the will of God. That's why rejection is so necessary from the very people. I would rather be rejected by people and be in the will of God than be accepted by people and out of the will of God. Let's go back to Psalm 118, verse 22. The scripture said, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Did you notice the scripture said the stone which the builders rejected? Not the stone which the destroyers rejected, but the stone which the builders rejected. You know, it's one thing for somebody you're not affiliated with or someone that you really don't know or care for to reject you. It's not such a big deal because you really don't have any affiliation or connection with them. But it's devastating when someone who is close to you rejects you, because you know what? The truth is, a lot of times the people that reject us are the builders in our lives. I want you to think of a builder as someone who's supposed to build you up. Someone who's supposed to uplift you. Someone who's supposed to support you. That builder could be a parent. It could be a spouse. It could be a significant other. It could be a friend, a mentor, a boss, a confidant, a minister, a religious figure. Sadly, sometimes the builders are the ones that tear us down. They are the ones that reject us. The scripture said the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Another thing I want you to think about is, and to really appreciate this, I want you to personalize that scripture in Psalm 118, verse 22. I want you to put yourself in the position of the stone, okay? You're the stone being rejected by the builders. What comes to your mind when you think of a stone? Well, let me tell you what I think of when I think of a stone. I think of something you step on, something that is useless by itself, something that you play with, something that you throw around. That's what a stone is. We step on it, we kick it, we throw it around, we play with it. The scripture said the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The stone was just a stone, useless. insignificant before it got rejected. But after it got rejected, it became something else. It became the chief cornerstone. It became useful. It became purposeful. A cornerstone is a stone used to hold walls together in a building. It's almost like the point from which a building is created, almost like a foundation of a building, so to speak. So this stone, which was insignificant, which was useless, became significant and useful and purposeful after the rejection. Along the same lines, God does not want you and I to be stones. He wants us to be chief cornerstones. In essence, He wants us to fulfill our destiny. Unfortunately, people do treat us like stones. Builders treat us like stones. Sometimes we have people treat us by mistreat us by stepping on us, stepping on our dreams, stepping on our self-esteem, kicking us around, literally and figuratively, throw us for a loop, play with our minds, play with our emotions. Sometimes people mistreat us like stones, discard us as defective, discard us as useless, throw us around. But thank God, God uses their thrust to propel us into His destiny for our lives. The stone was just a stone before it got rejected, but after the rejection, it was re-ejected to become a chief cornerstone. The stone became, which means the stone wasn't who the stone became before the rejection. The rejection transformed the stone into a chief cornerstone. Along the same line, God transformed you through rejection. He uses it to refine and define you into whom He has called you to be. The stone became a chief. A chief is a title. If you have a title, that means you have a function. If you have a function, that means you have a purpose. A chief corner. A corner is a position. In order for God to help you fulfill your destiny, in order for Him to help you fulfill your purpose, He has to position you for your purpose. Sometimes God uses rejection to position you for your purpose. He uses opposition to position you for your purpose. He uses opposition, which is a form of rejection, to position you for His plan for your life. So be encouraged when people reject you. God uses their rejection to propel you into your destiny. The stone, which was useless or used less, became useful, used to the full. Sometimes God uses rejection to transform you from the people who treat you like you are useless and used less to get you with people who see that you are useful and you'll be used to the full of your potential. God uses rejection to get you from your naysayers to your yay-sayers. He uses it to get you from people who don't need you to people who do. Be encouraged, because God uses rejection to help you fulfill your destiny. However, just because you get rejected does not guarantee that you will end up fulfilling your destiny. Being rejected doesn't automatically mean you're going to end up where God wants you to end up. How you respond to rejection will determine that. How you respond to rejection will determine if it inspires you or if it incinerates you. How you respond to rejection will determine if you overcome it or if it overcomes you. How you respond to rejection will determine if you're able to successfully deal with it or if it deals with you. So how do you respond to rejection? Well, in order to respond to rejection successfully, in order to overcome it, we need to have at least three things in mind. There are three things we have to deal with when dealing with rejection. We have to deal with the person that rejected us. We have to deal with the rejection. And we have to deal with ourselves. You have to deal with the person that rejected you or the entity that rejected you. You have to deal with the rejection and you have to deal with yourself. I believe God has given us a three-pronged response to help us overcome each aspect of rejection. And those responses are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and I'm going to paraphrase that scripture. It simply says, these three last forever: faith, hope, and love. These three last forever: faith, hope, and love. I want to encourage you to respond to any rejection you face with faith, hope, and love. Use faith to deal with yourself. Use hope to deal with the rejection, and use love to deal with the person or entity that rejected you. When you respond to rejection with faith, hope, and love, not only are you able to successfully deal with rejection, but you'll also be able to get a great deal out of it. And that great deal is you fulfilling God's awesome, majestic plan for your life. Faith. Use it to deal with yourself. Why? Well, when someone rejects you, it's like the person just told you you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. It's like they told you that you're insignificant. It's like someone is telling you that you can't have it, you can't be it, you can't do it. And if we're not careful, we take that to heart and we lose faith in God and lose faith in ourselves. Too many people have lost their faith in God and faith in themselves. I want to encourage you to do the opposite. Regardless of what anyone says or does to you, I want to encourage you to have faith in God and have faith in yourself. God has faith in you. You are special. Regardless of what anybody has said or done to you, I want you to know one thing. You are special. God loves you. God cares about you. And God has made deposits inside of you. A lot of times, while we think we're being rejected because there's something wrong with us, the truth is we're really being rejected because we're special and there's something right with us. My brother once told me that people don't throw sticks at trees with no fruit. It's because you have something, because you are something. You are somebody. A lot of times, that's why you are being rejected. God loves you. God cares for you. Have faith in God. Have faith in yourself. Don't lose your faith. Seek God. Don't go away from God. Run to God. Pray to God. Communicate with God. Put your faith in God. And have faith in yourself because God has faith in you. Do that and you're able to deal with yourself. When you're rejected, you want to have someone's shoulder to cry on, someone's shoulder to lean on. God is that shoulder. It is God's shoulder that you get that comfort that you need. He will comfort you. He will support you. He'll embrace you. And he will send people across your path to encourage, support, and embrace you. And even if you feel like there's no one like that in your life, always know that God is for you and his arms are wide open to hold you, hug you, heal you, and restore you. Have faith in God. Do not lose your faith. Press on into God even more. Pray to him, talk to him, communicate with him, read his word, go after him like never before. Have faith in God. God has faith in you, and have faith in yourself. Use faith to deal with yourself. Use hope to deal with the rejection. Why? Because Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, hope does not disappoint. When you are rejected, you are disappointed, because rejection brings disappointment. Rejection brings shame. But hope counters the disappointment. I think of a disappointment as an appointment that disses you. A disappointment is an appointment that disses you. When you respond with hope to the disappointment, or the disappointment brought forth by the rejection, you counter the disappointment. The King James Version of Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, hope maketh not ashamed. So when rejection brings shame, hope counters the shame, because hope maketh not ashamed. Or when rejection brings disappointment, the fact that hope does not disappoint counters that disappointment. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says, hope anchors the soul. Hope anchors your soul. So when you respond with hope to whatever rejection you're facing, you anchor yourself. You ensure that you're stable regardless of what rejection you're facing. But if you lose your hope, you have no anchor. When you have no anchor, you fall apart. You end up being unstable. You end up being all over the place. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I like to think of it this way. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but hope referred makes the heart healthy. That's why you refer to hope, or you go after hope, or you respond with hope, because hope counters the shame and counters the disappointment that rejection brings. So respond with hope that what you're going through, God's going to help you overcome it. Hope that what was meant to bring you down will bring you up. Hope that what was meant for your detriment, God would turn for your benefit. Hope that what was meant to harm you, God will use to arm you. Hope that what was meant for your evil, God would turn them out for your good. Hope. Hold on to hope. Keep hope alive. Okay? So respond with faith to deal with yourself. Respond with hope to deal with the rejection. And respond with love to deal with the person or the entity that rejected you. What do I mean by love? I mean forgiveness. Why? Because forgiveness is an imprint of love. If love was a glove, forgiveness will be its fingerprint. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8, the Amplified Version, I'm quoting from the Amplified Version of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8, it says, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love disregards and forgives all offenses. Have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love disregards and forgives all offenses. Love forgives. So I want to encourage you to forgive the person or the entity that rejected you. I know it's difficult to forgive. I know a lot of us find it very difficult to forgive. And I believe that's the case because a lot of times we really don't understand what forgiveness is. And we don't understand how to apply it. Sometimes we think that in order to forgive, we have to forgive out of our own strength, out of our own willpower. But to the contrary, in John chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, the Bible says he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then he told them that whatever sins you forgive are forgiven, and whatever sins you retain will be retained. But here is the sequence of events. He first breathed unto them the Holy Spirit. He first bestowed upon them the Holy Spirit. Then he told them to forgive. along the same lines, in order for you to forgive, the way God wants you to forgive, God has to give you the grace to forgive. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of grace, and the Holy Spirit will give you the grace to forgive whomever you need to forgive. That's why I encourage you to have faith in God. Through your faith in God, you have access to God, who can give you the grace, the power to forgive whomever you need to forgive. So I want to encourage you to seek God, pray to God, and ask Him to give you the grace, the power, the ability to forgive whomever you need to forgive. Another challenge we have with forgiveness is the thinking that when you forgive someone, some of us think it means the person is getting off the hook. We think we're saying what the person did was okay. We think we're patting the person on the back, but that's not true. That's not the case. Forgiveness is not about someone getting off the hook. It's about you getting off their hook. Forgiveness doesn't mean someone is getting off the hook. It means you are getting off their hook. In other words, forgiveness is not about someone getting away with what they did to you. It's about you getting away from what was done to you. Forgiveness is not about someone getting away with what they did to you. It's about you getting away from what was done to you. Another challenge with forgiveness is the thinking that forgiveness means that you forget, because we keep hearing the phrase forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. So a lot of us think when we truly forgive, that means what we're forgiven is wiped out from our memory. But that is not true, because you know what? Have you ever thought about this? How can you forgive something you forgot? I don't even remember. Perhaps some of us are like, well, that would be cool, you know. But you can't forgive something you forgot. Obviously, some of us understand that forgetting really deals with just letting things go. But it's important for us to realize that forgetting doesn't really mean something being wiped out of your memory. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, the Bible says, the New Living Translation says, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. It didn't say love doesn't remember wrongs. In fact, the fact that love doesn't keep record of wrongs lets us know that love is aware of the wrong, but love just chooses not to keep it. That's really what forgiveness is. You're aware of the fact that you've been wronged, but you don't hold on to it. You don't rehash it. You don't rehearse it. You let it go. That's what it means to forgive. It doesn't mean you forget from your memory because you remember it, but you just don't take account of it. This is how I really knew that forgiveness didn't mean you forget from your memory. This is how I knew. Remember the story of Jesus when he got crucified and he rose from the dead? Jesus appeared to his disciples. Unfortunately, Thomas was absent when Jesus first appeared to his disciples. Later on, when Thomas came together with the disciples, they told him that Jesus had risen from the dead. But Thomas doubted. He said, unless I see the scars in his hands and his sides, I will not believe. And it wasn't long after that that Jesus showed up and told Thomas, touch my hands and feel the scars and touch the piercings on my sides. And Thomas didn't touch, but just seeing Jesus, he believed. Well, the fact that Jesus referred to the scars in his hands and the piercings on his sides lets us know that Jesus did not forget that he got crucified. Now, Jesus didn't forget that they crucified him on the cross. Well, it's either he never forgave, or forgiveness has nothing to do with forgetting what happened to you. And I know that forgiveness has nothing to do with you forgetting what happened to you, because Jesus truly forgave. He is the epitome of forgiveness, yet he remembered what happened to him on the cross. When he was on the cross, Jesus said, prior to saying it is finished, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He truly forgave, yet he remembered what happened to him. And you know what? That incident also revealed something to me. We're not supposed to forget. You know why? We're not supposed to forget the source of our problems or the source of our wounds. You know why? Because there are people like Thomas out there. They need to see your scars. They don't care if you walk on water. They don't care if you turn water into wine. They don't care if you heal the sick. They don't care if you cast out demons. They don't care how much of an orator you are. They don't care how much you teach. They don't care about your degrees. They don't care if you went to an Ivy League school. They don't care if you are a billionaire. All they care about is, do you have scars? Until they see your scars, they will not believe anything you tell or show them. They want to know if you've gone through something and if you've overcome it. That's why people need to see what we have been delivered from. Notice I said they need to see your scars, not your wounds. A scar basically is a healed wound. Your scars, not your wounds. You need to get your wounds healed. But once you're healed and you're free, you can show them your scars. Listen, I went through this and I overcame it. That is going to speak volumes to people like Thomas, and they're going to change and believe and receive their healing too. I hope you've been listening to me through this discourse, through this message. I'm basically showing you my scars of rejection, letting you know that, you know what? Through the rejections I've experienced, God has transformed my life for the better, and He can do for you too. I'm just encouraging you to respond with faith, with hope, and with love. And when you do that, you will overcome rejection. You will deal with it successfully and get a great deal out of it. You will begin to fulfill your destiny, just like I am fulfilling my destiny. When Jesus was on the cross, He forgave. And after He forgave, it wasn't long after that He said, "It is finished." That was a powerful statement because I discovered that it's never finished until you forgive. Jesus couldn't die until He forgave. After He forgave, then He said, "It is finished." Friend, it's never finished until you forgive. That situation, that hurt, that disappointment, that shame is never finished until you forgive, until you let it go. Then it is finished. And then you can move on with your life. And then you can make progress towards your future. And then you can make progress towards God's plan for your life. I want to encourage you to forgive. Let it go. God has an awesome plan for you. Your best days are ahead of you. Forgiveness has nothing to do with forgetting. In fact, I think we need to stop saying forgive and forget. A better phrase is forgive and forfeit. Not forget because you don't. Forgive and forfeit. Yeah, you're aware of what happened, but you don't hold it against the person. You don't rehearse it. You don't rehash it. You only let people know, you know what? I went through this, but I overcame it. So I encourage you to respond with faith, with hope, and with love. And you're on your way to experiencing all that God has for you. Romans 8:28 is a very powerful scripture that we often do a disservice to because we quote the middle of the scripture. The part that is often quoted is, "All things work together for the good." All things work together for the good. That's what a lot of people quote. And I can understand if and how some people may not really grasp the magnitude of that scripture, because I think the first significant part of that scripture, if not the most important part of the scripture, is the first three words that are often neglected or often not quoted when people quote Romans 8:28. And the first three words are, "And we know." And we know. The full scripture says, "And we know." that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Some translations say all things, and we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You need to know that God works all things together for your good. In order for you to overcome rejection, you need to know that God works it, since it's under the umbrella of all things, for your good. If you don't know that God works all things, which includes rejection, for your good, then you're not going to respond appropriately to it. So I've been spending this past few minutes helping you to know that God works rejection, amongst other things, for your good. And now that you're aware, now that you know that, the next time you get rejected, and the way you deal with whatever rejection you're dealing with right now or in the past, because you know that God is working this for your good, then you can respond with faith and respond with hope and respond with love. All things work together for the good of those who love God. That's why I emphasize you need to respond with love. One of the ways that we express that we love God is by obeying his commands. And one of his commands is for us to love others and to forgive others. That's why I kept saying forgive, let it go. Because not if you don't let it go, rejection won't let you go. It will hold you back. But when you let it go, rejection has no choice but to let you go forward into God's plan for your life. Love is very powerful. In fact, love encompasses both hope and faith. 1 Corinthians 13:13, I only gave you part of the scripture. All these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love, because love encompasses both. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, the New Living Translation says, love never loses faith and is always hopeful. Love never loses faith and is always hopeful. In essence, love has both faith and hope in it. Part of the nature of love is having faith and having hope. So in a nutshell, just respond with love. Under that, under the umbrella of love is faith and there's hope. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, which is what I've been telling you throughout this message. It's for a purpose. It's for God's call on your life. The rejection is for you to fulfill God's plan for your life. So be encouraged as you respond with faith, with hope, and with love. And God helps you to fulfill his destiny for your life. Remember this. Being rejected is not the end of your life. Rather, it's a means to an end for your life. Being rejected is not the end of your life. Rather, it's a means to an end for your life. And that end is your destiny. Thanks for your time. Heavenly Father, I pray for this individual listening to this message right now. I just thank you for granting me the grace to share this information with them. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what their challenges are. I don't know what kind of rejection they faced, they are facing, or they'll be facing in the future. But you do. You know about this person. I thank you that you're mindful of them. You're thinking about them. I pray that you let your face shine on them. Be merciful and gracious toward them. Surround this person with favor like a shield. Position this person like a secure peg wherever you want the person to be. Father, I pray that you breathe on them your Holy Spirit. I ask that you give them the grace to forgive anyone that they need to forgive. If they need to forgive, give them the strength and the ability to go forth and forgive so that they can move on and experience all that you have for this person. I thank you for helping this person realize that their best days are ahead of them. Thanks for going ahead of them and making their crooked places straight. Thank you for strengthening their faith. Thank you for helping their faith not to fail. Thanks for giving them hope. Thanks for being their hope. Thanks for helping them to walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Thank you for strengthening this person and pouring your presence. Thanks for helping this person experience your presence, Lord, because in your presence is fullness of joy. Thank you for revealing to this person who you really are and helping them to head toward your plan for their life. Thank you for doing this and more for them. Help them have their mind fixed on you so that you keep them in perfect peace. I pray that you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle this person, Lord. I thank you for setting them free. Thank you, Father God, that any rejection this person has experienced, Lord, thanks for using it to propel this person to their destiny. Thanks for helping them to forgive and to move on with their life. Friend, the most important thing is for you to have a relationship with God. One of the things I mentioned earlier was rejection is a vehicle that God uses to help you fulfill your destiny, whether that destiny is to be with someone, go somewhere, or do something. That someone could be God himself. The most important person in our lives is God. If you don't have a relationship with God, I would like to encourage you to have a relationship with him. That's part of having faith in him. If you'd like to do that, I'd like to pray with you to receive Jesus into your life. And perhaps you already knew God, but you went astray. I'd like to pray with you too. So if you don't mind, let's take a few minutes and just pray to restore or begin a relationship with God. I encourage you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I confess you as my Lord, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thanks for coming into my life and being my Lord. Help me to live for you from now and henceforth. Teach me your way. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, I just want to welcome you to the family of God or welcome you back to the family of God. Thanks for taking time with me. I want to encourage you to seek a Bible-based church in your area. What you've just done is a good step, is a first step to knowing God. Right now, do not allow anyone or anything to tell you that you don't know God because you already prayed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Newsflash, you are saved now. Don't let anybody tell you any different. But it's just the first step in your relationship with God. There's room for all of us to grow, and I want to encourage you to grow. And part of that process is having a church that you attend. So I want to encourage you to find a good Bible teaching church in your area. And if you don't know any, I want to encourage you to begin to cultivate your relationship with God by praying to him and asking him to direct you to the right church. And he will. So be on the lookout when you pray that prayer. He might send a person across your path, information, either through social media or email or something. Just be on the lookout. Be expecting because God will direct you to the right church. So once again, my name is OJ Tokes. I want to say thank you because I know your time is precious and you spent a significant time to listen to this message. I hope it has been a blessing and impactful. And if it has, I want to encourage you because I'm very sure that perhaps you know a lot of people that can benefit from this message. Having said that, I want to encourage you to share it with them. Feel free to download it, copy it, burn it, email it. Go ahead and share it with as many people as you know that can benefit from this. What I just shared with you barely scratches the surface of what I've learned about rejection. If you'd like to learn more about how God uses it to help you fulfill your destiny, hear about all the benefits of rejection, I put everything in my book, Rejected for a Purpose, How God Uses Rejection to Help You Find and Fulfill Your Destiny. So you can get my book on my website, ojtokes.com. That's ojtokes.com. That's www.ojtokes.com. O-J, T as in Tom, O, K as in Kite, S as in Steve, OJTalks.com. OJTalks.com. You can get my book, Rejected for a Purpose, How God Uses Rejection to Help You Find and Fulfill Your Destiny. My book is also available via Barnes & Noble, Amazon. In case you're not able to get it there, because sometimes they get sold out, you're most likely to get it on my website, OJTalks.com. It's available both in Kindle as well as paperback. So check my site out, OJTalks.com. Share this information with your friends, family members, people that you know can benefit from this. Again, thanks for your time. My name is OJ Talks. Take care. God bless you. And be encouraged. The best is yet to come for you. Bye.